Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. Well, it's good to be back with you, and I want to just say on behalf of my family, we really missed you all. We had opportunity to go away. And we went to go and visit Nikki's family, my in-laws in Zimbabwe, you know, Ethel and Judy King. Just good news from them. They've settled well. They've settled in a place called Marandera in a retirement village called Borrowdale Trust. They've got a lovely little dwelling with a lovely garden, and they're doing well. They found a church up the road. It's near some of the girls' school, Peterhouse Girls' School, and they're attending there. They're doing well. And yeah, we had a wonderful Christmas with them and the family and New Year. And then we went down to Sedgefield and had a 2 weeks break there and have come back refreshed. We were tired. Well, I was tired when we left. And it's so good. And I want to just say it's important that we find refreshing in the Lord. It's very important. Otherwise, we run on empty batteries, and we got to find that. I know the Bible doesn't talk about holidays, but I just think the lifestyle we live in the modern world today, we've got to find time to actually go and rest and get our batteries charged again. So I do encourage you to do that. Just some of the announcements. I don't know, went to the revolving. What are we doing this week? We pray with praying with fasting. And the issue is not on fasting, but it is to pray. And I really just, as I've been waiting on the Lord, I just really want to theme it, hearing the voice of God, and that comes from Revelations 2, verse 7. Who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And I know God wants to speak to us, so we're going to be praying with fasting from Wednesday the 1st to Friday the 3rd at 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. here in the upper room, trusting for the load shedding to cooperate with us. And then also on Wednesday and Thursday at 12:30 to 1:15 in the upper room here, and we'll keep you posted if we have to move the venue in doing that. But I really do encourage you to come and join us, because you know what? You need to hear God. I cannot be your voice. He needs to give you direction. He's the one that said, come and follow me, and we need to follow together, but you need to hear God. And I know there are things ahead of us in this year and this time and the world that we live. Apart from God, we can do nothing, and we need to hear him, and you need the affirmation from God himself. We need to hear the voice of God. We can't just be coming into the outworking of church life and be doing the right thing, but not hearing God. We've got to be obedient to him. So I really do encourage you, please set that time aside. If you cannot be there in person, I really do encourage you to be online and to come and join in there, because I'm really just trusting that God speaks. We're going to consolidate that, and we're going to work it out. And next Sunday, I'm just trusting, as God has spoken, to affirm what he's saying to us, to tell what he's, over the years that he's been speaking to us, we're going to affirm through that, and we're going to have a time dedicated to allow God to speak to us and into your lives further next Sunday. But then just a further announcement. Church planters and lead elders at Cornerstone, and if you have church planting in your heart, and I know there are some people in the life of the church that want that, but also you just want to be encouraged about how to grow in the church and through the church and to grow in your leadership, It's available to all of us from the 13th to the 17th of March. Let me know. Give me your name so I can book on your behalf and allow to go there. So we're going to be attending that and really just trust that God will work that for the good. So let's start by prayer, and then I'm going to get into what God's placed on my heart to share with you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. You always come to give us life, and you come to bring encouragement through your word. And Lord, as I just make myself available as a vessel to bring your word, I pray that you would speak very clearly to your people today. They will hear your voice in what I present to them. So we just trust you for transformation and renewal today, and lives to be changed through the preaching of your word. So come and speak to us so powerfully, Holy Spirit, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the title of my message today is Learning to Know Him and His Presence. Now, I don't know if you, while we've been away and I've been reading and hearing what has been said, I'd love to come to you and to say 2023 and the years ahead are going to be good years. But my Bible doesn't tell me that. And the Bible warns us there are things ahead of us, that the world is changing and preparing for the Antichrist that is coming. But also we need to have the good news to say is that Jesus is coming to fetch us. And that we understand is the rapture. And we read that in Thessalonians, that before the tribulation comes, God is preparing us and getting us ready to meet with him. And we will be removed from the earth, those that are ready, to be with him forever. And I just really come with that encouragement today, because I want to tell you that we got to get closer to God. It's not a matter of just being in his kingdom, to be part of his family. We all have to have an intimate personal relationship with the living God. And I really come to encourage you with that. You know, what's happening in the world today, I don't know if you've been watching, but this whole gender issue is becoming absolutely massive. And I think in South Africa, we're not exposed to it to the degree that the rest of the world is, but this LGBTQ plus is becoming absolutely massive. And what's going to be happening, we believe God's word, and we believe God created us male and female, and we're going to have to start standing on that, and we're going to be persecuted in that regard. And it's happened in our country, where there's human rights and there's freedom of speech and all those things, but we're going to hold on to God's word, and not that we condemn that group of people, but there's a massive awakening. The media of the world is pushing that agenda absolutely massively. It's in our schools, it's in our movies, it's on Disney. Folks, guard your children that they don't just go and watch Disney. Disney with the witchcraft and the whole lesbianism, homosexuality is an absolute reality. But where are we going to get our strength as we find this? And I believe it comes out of our intimacy, our personal intimate relationship with the living God. So I want to cover some points here. There are 4 points I want to cover through: knowing him and walking in his presence. And then Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And life in Christ and a relationship which is transformational and revival. So my first point is that we need to understand that the Bible talks a lot about the prophetic. And we need to understand the prophetic, we need to understand the future. But if we go and read the scriptures, God, when he speaks, is prophetic. When he's speaking and he speaks the life, and a majority of the prophecies that we read in scripture are relating to Israel. The prophecies that God speaks to us about the church is about the rapture and preparing us for heaven to be with him. But we need to understand what's happening with Israel, and we're trusting over this year we're going to be spending some quality time preparing and understanding that we could prepare and understand what is the Antichrist and who it is and what it might be outworked. And we've got to be aware of those things, not to be fearful, but we need to be informed about those things and preparing for what's happening, that we know that we're not going through the tribulation, but the world is being prepared for the tribulation. And we're going to be part of that. So we're not to get disheartened. We've got to keep our eyes fixed upon our Lord Jesus Christ. But I think one of the greatest revelations that we need to have, where the Bible talks about, is the mystery of Christ. The Bible talks about it in the New Testament, that we need to come to an understanding of Christ. And Paul talks about Christ as being a mystery, and a mystery that needs to be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And I want to just say is that our relationship with God needs to go deeper, needs to go further into that intimate place, and we need to know him. Because let me tell you, when things get tough, we got to know our God. Because we need to hear his voice, we need to know his word, and need to go through these things. Because I'd love to say things are going to get easier, but I think we are on pressure at every level. Financially, emotionally, physically, spiritually, we're anything. And we're together. I want to just say we're together in this, but we're together with our Lord, and we need him to guide us and direct us in all this. So knowing him and walking in his presence, God always planned for us to encounter and to walk with him. Right from the early time when he created Adam and Eve, he walked with them in the garden. And that intention has never gone, that he never just brought us out of this world and left us alone. He brought himself to live inside of us, and he wants to dwell within us, and that's where we got to grow into and understand. You know, when you get married, it's a wonderful opportunity. I know there's the whole thing of finding your spouse and the journey of dating and all that infatuation. But when you get married, there's a covenant that's established. And that covenant where two different people come together and they learn to submit to one another and they learn to love one another. And they as they grow in that, the intimacy, yes, is there, but the depth of intimacy only comes as that covenant is worked out between the two of them. And I want to just say to you is that the same happens when you come to Christ. There's a covenant that we are in with him, a new covenant, and we have come to him. But as we learn to submit to him and allow that his dwelling is within us, he becomes alive to us, and we've come to see who he is and who he is in us. But this is a process. It's something that has to be learned. It takes a lifetime. The Holy Spirit comes to teach us. He comes to teach us God's ways. He comes to reveal his word to us. And I want to just say his ways are not our ways, but he wants us to know his ways. So I ask you today a very, very important question. I'm not asking you, do you love the Lord? I don't doubt that every one of you loves the Lord. But I do ask you, do you have an intimate personal relationship with the Lord? Because that thing is going to cost you your very life. To have an intimate personal relationship with the Lord, you're not going to be able to get away with sin and doing your own thing if you want to have an intimate personal relationship with God. Because remember, he is God and his ways are holy, and he wants us to be separate from the world. He doesn't want us to be, in a sense, religious, but he wants us to be real and having an intimate relationship with him. So firstly, to have an intimate personal relationship with God, you need to be born again. And I trust that you are all born again. If you're not born again, come and chat to me afterwards. You need to meet with the Lord Jesus. You need to submit to him and confess him as your Lord and Savior. That is absolutely vital. Otherwise, you're not a new creation, and Christ can't come to live inside of you. And then you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Why be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Because you need God's enabling to allow you to grow up in Christ and to grow in the expression of Christ. I know my personal life is, I was born again and really met with the Lord, but it was when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, there was just something of an incredible power of God that came and took me into this intimacy, this personal relationship with the Lord. And I want to just say the strength of my walk that I have as I follow the Lord has been this intimacy with God. I find it's my refuge, it's my rock, it's my shield, it's everything that I have. Yes, we have structures, I have a wonderful family, God has provided, but I cannot put my trust in that. I've got to put my trust in my relationship with God. And even through, and I'll share a bit later, as we go through times and we don't know what to do, it's that relationship, that intimate relationship with God that actually sustains me to go forward. But I want to just say many Christians don't have a personal intimate relationship with God. Why? Why do I say that? Because we don't judge anyone, but Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. And we spoke about fruitfulness, and the fruitfulness of the Spirit comes out of a personal relationship with the living God. You cannot manufacture that thing. You cannot go and say, this is the methodology, and fruitfulness comes. It's given by God, and it comes out of a relationship with him, and that is born out of that relationship. And the Bible warns us about this relationship, and we read this wonderful scripture you know about. about those that are doing the seemingly the right thing in the church. And I read from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? So yeah, they were doing works. There was an evidence of what the Spirit can do in and through individuals' lives. But then he said, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. Now, I wanted to say, as Jesus is preparing us to come and fetch us, as we prepare ourselves as like the 10 young virgins and five had oil in their lamp, we need to know Christ. When he says to these individuals, yeah, I never knew you, obviously they never had a relationship and they weren't obeying him. They were doing their own thing. They had their own will. Yes, God's gifting was there and the gifting was working and there was prophetic and there was demons were being cast out. But there was no intimate relationship with God. And that is absolutely awful. And may it never happen to any one of us. May we be in a place where we have an intimate personal relationship. And again, I ask you, I know the Lord knows you, but do you know the Lord? And do you know his ways? And we can reject him. Even though he lives inside of us, we have the ability to harden our hearts, the ability to close our lives up, and not allow Jesus to be close to us and teach us his ways. So I want to just read from this book. It's a wonderful book. I do recommend that you read it sometime in your life. I Dare to Call Him Father by Balkis Sheikh, about a lady that was in Pakistan, was part of the hierarchy of Pakistan. She was a Muslim and lived outside of the capital. I think it was Lahore. And God revealed himself to her in an incredible way, that through dreams and how the revelation that God came and revealed himself through the Father and then the Son and the Holy Spirit. But then it came to this place of an intimate personal relationship with the Lord. And I take up the story where she's living in this hometown. Some Christian missionaries had been in the town and she'd made contact with them. And it was frowned upon to actually meet with the Christians because the whole country was Islam, and she being a Muslim herself, and she wanted to go and be with these people. But I'll just read here and just see her personal relationship with the Lord. I'm just going to read one or two pages. Then one Sunday, I didn't particularly feel like going to this life group, so I rang up the olds. These were the people that ran the life group, and gave some excuse. It seemed a little thing, but almost instantly I began to feel uneasy. What was it? I walked through the house restlessly, checking on the servants' work. Everything was in order, yet everything seemed out of order. Then I went out to my own room and knelt down to pray. And after a while, her grandson crept in so quietly that I didn't know that there was until I felt a little hand, soft hand in my mind, in my hand. Mum, are you all right? He asked. You look funny. I smiled and assured him, yes, I was all right. Well, you keep walking around looking as if you have lost something. Then he was gone, skipping out of the door and down the hall. I looked as if he had lost something. Mahamud, which was the grandson, was right. And I knew right then what it was that I had lost. I lost the sense of God's glory. It was gone. Why? Did it have something to do with my not going to the meeting at the Olds? With my not having fellowship when I needed? With a sense of urgency, I phoned Ken and I said that I'll be there after all. What a difference. Immediately I felt the return of warmth to my soul. I did go to the meeting as promised. Nothing unusual took place there. Yet again, I knew I was walking in his glory. Ken had apparently been right. I needed fellowship and I'd learned my lesson. I determined from then to attend regularly unless Jesus himself told me not to go. So he has this intimate personal relationship, walking with the Lord, following his direction and knowing that he's Lord. As I drew a little closer to God, here a step, there a step, I found myself hungering even more for his word through the Bible. Every day, as soon as I rose, I would begin reading it when never failing a sense of nowness. The Bible became alive to me, illuminating my day, shedding its light on every step I would take. It was in fact my lovely perfume. But here too, I found a strange thing. One day, Mahmoud and I were going to see his mother for the day. I was late getting to bed that night before. I really didn't feel like getting up at dawn to have an hour with the Bible. So I told Rashim, her helper, to wake me up for my tea just before we were supposed to set off. I didn't sleep at all well that night. I tossed and twisted and had bad dreams. When Rashim came in, I was exhausted. I noticed that the entire day, I didn't go right. Strange. What was the Lord saying to me? That he'd expected me to read the Bible every day? That was the second time when I seemed to be stepping out of the glory of the Lord's presence. But the experience nonetheless left me with a strange sense of excitement, for I had the feeling that I was sitting on an important truth without realizing it. There were times when I was in the presence and experienced the deepest sense of joy and peace, and there were times when I lost the sense of his presence. What was the key? What could I do to stay close to him? I thought back over the times when it seemed unusually close, way back in my two dreams to the afternoon, and I sensed the exquisite fragrance in my winter garden. I thought about the first time when I'd gone to the Mitchells, about the latter times when I'd read my Bible regularly and gone to Sunday meetings at the Olds. Almost always there were times when I knew that the Lord was with me. And I thought about the opposite times, when moments when I knew that I'd lost the sense of his nearness. How did the Bible put it? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It was what happened when I scolded the servants, or when I failed to nourish my spirit regular with Bible reading, or when I just didn't go to the Olds. Part of the key of staying in the company was obedience. And when I obeyed, then I was allowed to remain in his presence. I got out my Bible and searched in John till I found the verse where Jesus says, "When a man loves me, he follows my teaching. Then my Father will love him, and we will come to that man and make a home with him." And I just wanted to read that to you just to expound is that when we come to Christ, there's a relationship with God and there's an outworking of life. And I really want to encourage you is that we need to be walking in the presence of God, in the presence of his glory. And I want to tell you, it's a lie. You have not been brought into religion. You're not being brought into a system. You've been brought into a relationship. And Jesus is not just here on a Sunday morning. He's with you right through the week. He's through everything that you do, through the mundane, through your cooking, through your work environment, through your exercise, through whatever you're doing. Jesus is there with you. And he wants to be evidenced in you. And I wanted to say, we need to develop practicing the presence of God. And there are books out there. And I want to just encourage you now, what is preventing us from becoming to being close to Jesus? So my next point, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I know this might seem out of context from Acts 26, verse 14. And this was Paul on the Damascus Road as the Lord arrested him. And the Lord said to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And yes, I just do believe that Saul was, yes, he was a persecutor of the church. He was putting the Christians to death. But we as individuals, if we want to grow deeper with the Lord, is what we do. We can actually put a sword into Christ, that we can persecute him. And I wanted to say, when we do things our way, I want to say that again, when we do things our way, when it's our will, my way or the highway, and I'm guilty. We all have got the flesh. Look at my family nodding. I don't like that. I'm guilty because I get into this also, is that, yes, sometimes I'm firm. And I know in that I've got to learn to do it God's way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And we need to be transformed, that he becomes more and we become less. And, you know, one of the goals in my life is to walk in the presence of Almighty God. And that's not an easy thing, because there's a continual change, there's continual transformation to walk in his presence. And we all, not 100%, it's not a feeling, but it is something of when we become independent and we become obstinate and we become proud. I want to just say that stubbornness of our heart, it's, I'm going to do it my way. We all got issues with pride. I want to say that you got pride. All of us. It's inherent of the flesh. And that thing's got to be put down. And we've got to get to a place where we are sensitive, and that we stop persecuting Christ who dwells within us. Because what happens when we walk in this thing and we start to persecute Christ? Does Christ leave us? Never. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But does his closeness remain? No. He's like a dove. The Holy Spirit's like a dove, and when his presence comes, and when we start to do things according to our way and start to say things, he actually drifts away. He doesn't leave, but his intimate person presence is not there. And we've got to learn and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, because it takes a revelation by God. I can't tell you what you're doing that's robbing you of God's presence. It's the Holy Spirit. As you will submit to him and work to him and say, Holy Spirit, what's robbing me of walking in an intimate personal relationship with God and walking in the glory of God? And as he speaks, and you'll catch yourself in the wrong thoughts, in the words that you're saying, the actions that you're doing, and it'll be a revelation by the Spirit. See, God never comes to judge, but he comes and he brings discipline and he brings correction to bring us into a closer relationship with him. But you know what happens? You know, when you work in the garden, and those that work in the fields and they work in implements on your hands, you get calluses, the skin builds up and the skin gets hardened. And when you're doing that type of work, you need to do that. Otherwise, you're going to get blisters all the time. But that happens with our hearts and our minds, is that because we're subjected to the world and we're subject to our way, to our self-righteousness, our hearts and our minds become calloused and hardened to God. And actually, we've got to get to a place where we allow God to come and remove that callousness from our hearts, that we don't become hardened, that we become not sensual, but become sensitive to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus is talking about us coming to find rest. But how do we find rest? He says, come to me, all of you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I know we are taught by the Spirit of God to cast all our cares upon him. But this scripture says, come and take his yoke. His perfectly fitting yoke upon you, and learn that he is gentle and humble in heart. And remember, the Lord and who he is God is kind. God is gentle. God is humble. And when we learn to walk not in the opposite spirit, but we walk in the same spirit, and because we are one with him, we find rest for our souls. And I want to say that's a key for where we are in this world that we find with all the troubles and the trials that are ahead of us. We got to find Christ, because in that place you will find rest, you will find peace for your souls, and you'll find his yoke is easy and your burden is light. It is an incredible place to be, and it's available to every single one of us to walk with this Christ who dwells within us, who is gentle and humble, and to find his way, not to reject him, but to find him. Because if you reject him and you put him aside, you will find life difficult. And if you're finding life difficult at the moment and life is hard, maybe you haven't submitted to the Christ within you and are putting on his yoke and carrying his burden, which is easy. Now, what are some of the things? Yes, circumstances and stuff can change our lives, but it's invariably the fruitfulness that we spoke about earlier, that you'll know them by their fruit, and the fruits of the flesh that come out. And I want to just say, your thoughts are very important, what you're thinking, because that can even push God away. Yes, the devil comes and puts his thoughts in our minds. We need to take authority of that and bring in obedience to Christ. But also the words that come out of our mouths. So, yes, God needs to teach us not to swear. And swearing is not of God. We need to be speaking. You know, we were talking while on holiday to my brother-in-law, and you find many Christians still swear. And God needs to change and clean your mouth. But the issue is, I laughed, where this Christian man was talking to other Christians and the fluk words were coming out. So they asked the question, didn't you go to school, and which school did you go to? And they said, no, they went to this fancy school. Didn't they teach you any verbs? Because they got these fluk words going out. And I want to tell you, God wants to change the way we speak. And yes, there are times that we fall and we swear, but the reality, it shouldn't be normal, because it actually causes us. I believe Jesus never swore. He never swore. He communicated. We don't see it in Scripture in any way. He didn't curse people. Yes, there was a cursing in his sovereignty. There was no slander. There was no gossip. There was no unkind word. He knew how to assess situations, but there wasn't this hard judgment. And that's when we take on that flesh and we take on those things, it robs us of the presence of Almighty God. So the Lord wants us to learn his way. So what came out of this portion here, that scripture in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And I just know that if we want to walk in the oneness with him and walk in his glory, it's not always a feeling, but is knowing him. And you know when you walk that you've said a hard thing or you've done something. And I want to just say, be quick to repent. Now, repentance is, yes, identifying the sin, but turning to God and asking him to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, that you get back into his presence. You know, when we worship, we love the presence of God. And that's what we aim for, is when we come together, that there's a oneness in our worship of God. But I want to say it's deeper in your personal life when you walk in the presence of Almighty God and you doing everything in your ability to walk in that place and to walk in his glory, not ignoring him, not ignoring his will for your life and being obedient to him in any way. So what are the things that help us to remain in his presence? Be quick to forgive. Do not hold resentment in any way. And you'll find if you're not experiencing that, and if you've got broken relationships in your life, whatever you right or wrong in those situations, you need to restore those relationships. And you need to go and, not to say sorry, you need to go and ask for forgiveness. Sorry doesn't mean anything. Forgiveness means everything. And I want to encourage you, those relationships need to be in that place. You need to learn when you've been abused, may even been robbed, that you learn to bless. Jesus said, bless your enemies. It's so contrary. It was the Christ that lives in you. That's what he does. He blesses. And not only to bless because the Lord told you to do it, but actually mean it, that you want these people to prosper. In our nation, we have corruption, but as we pray for those that are doing it, we need to ask God to change their hearts too. But in effect, they're robbing from us, but we need to pray God's blessing upon them. I don't know what that does, but God's way, when we pray a blessing, the Bible says we heap coals of fire upon them, not to curse them, but actually to bring them to salvation, and that's what we need to do. We need to turn the other cheek. Sometimes, how do you turn the other cheek? Just keep quiet. Don't react. We all react. We don't respond. And we all got to learn that. And as we get older, sometimes it's even more difficult. We need to turn the other cheek when things actually happen. And then hunger and thirst for righteousness. The world is not seeking for righteousness. It's seeking self-righteousness. It's seeking for its own will. And the world is going to be drifting more. So I want to encourage you, and I'm speaking to myself now, is that it's good to know what's happening in the world. I believe it is, so we can pray properly. But sometimes the media that we read is so tainted with the world that it impacts your relationship with your Lord. So I want to say, yes, know what's happening in the world so we can pray correctly. But can I just say, I've got to correct myself too. Don't live on News 24 or BBC to read what's happening in the world, because it actually pulls you down. Rather get into God's word and allow the encouragement of God's word to build you up. And then walk in the glory of his presence and be different. Run this race, because we're preparing again for the Lord's coming. He's coming to fetch us, as I said earlier, at the rapture, and we're going to be prepared. And I wanted to say, those that are going to be close to the Lord, you have an assurance in your heart that you're going to be raptured with him. The Bible warns that 5 out of 10 young virgins didn't have oil in their lamps. And I want to encourage you to have oil in your lamp is what God wants for you. And it's attainable. It's not something that's far away from you. You can do it. It's all it is, a simple thing of submitting and say, Lord, here I am. I want to walk in the fullness of this. So practically, how do we get this life of Christ, this relationship, to be transformational and renewed in our life? And I really believe as we allow Christ to dwell in us, his life to work through our lives, it changes us in every level of our lives. As I said, it's easy to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but if you want his life to be in you and walk in his way, it will cost you everything. It will cost you everything, because he wants nothing of you. He wants you, and he wants to live his life through you. So how do we get this life of Christ? And I believe it's a picture like a diamond that's cut into those different facets, and the multiple colors of the rainbow start to flow through that diamond. And that's what our life is. And I've got some points here. What is some of these facets of the life of Christ as we dwell in the presence of God? It's a life of abiding in Christ. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that abiding is a decision. Jesus says, abide in me. And we got to decide, Lord, I'm going to abide in you. Not only to be Lord of my life in every way, but everything, I'm with you in these things. So what does the abiding mean? As again, with the relationship, any relationship needs conversation. And it's talking to the Lord on a continual level. It's waking up in the morning, good morning, Lord, praise you, you're worthy to be praised. It's not a religious thing, understanding who he is, but having an intimate relationship. When you go to sleep, good night, Lord. When you're facing things in life and issues happen, how do you respond to that? Is it, Lord, thank you for this, what's happening? I want to just say one of the greatest victories in life as you're going to face these things is to be thankful in all circumstances. Thank the Lord when the things. I woke up this morning to our geyser not working, and I'm under pressure, and I've got to get out. And what was my first reaction? I had to teach myself to say, thank you, Lord, for working the thing out. And I know I went up, and I was fixing stuff yesterday, and I'd switched the isolator off and didn't switch it back on, so it was my fault. But I could have got very upset and said something went wrong. So I was to blame in the process. But abide in Christ. Go and read John 15 again. Go and read the words of Jesus and allow to abide in Christ. It's our calling to be one with him. We were never meant to him to be on a pedestal and to be a God as an idol. He's dwelling within us, and abide in him, and may his life flow through you. Then live for Christ as a little Christian. Allow his lordship to rule and reign in everything that you do. Whatever decisions you make, committed to him, allow him to be all in all. Every single aspect of your life. You know, when you commit your ways to the Lord, you'd be amazed. You don't know what the day has for you. But just say, Lord, bless this day ahead of us in whatever we're going to do with all the things that are ahead of us. May your lordship be there. May we be doing your will. And you'll be surprised through all the decisions that you need to make. He will go before you, and he will give you the wisdom and the understanding of that. And then a life of prayer. When you come to walk in the presence of God, you will be called to prayer. Now, prayer is not what we generally all know, just requests. And that's an important part of our lives, is that we bring our requests before God. But as we work with him, as we begin to, he puts images in our hearts what to pray for, that we can be praying in faith and we can be interceding. But then one of the greatest aspects of prayer, again, is thanksgiving and worship. It's not just good on a Sunday morning to be worshiping God. We need to have a prayer life, is that. And I want to just say is that you will see, as you want to get closer to God, he will draw you closer and closer to your closet. That we need to have those times where if you are praying very little, I want to just say God wants to change that. And yes, we gather together as a church and we're praying together today. But if you, in your personal life, as we read with Bisquil Sheikh, is that she missed out on her prayer time. She missed out on it, and she felt the presence of God lift. And even in my busyness, I find, even if I work hard on that thing and I just wait on the Lord in that time, even in the busyness of that, and get into the scriptures, I know it seems like ritual, but there's something about that sense of God's presence when the word comes. And I want to just say is that you need to be having daily devotions. You need that in your routine as you want to walk in the presence of God. You cannot grow in Christ if you don't have a daily devotional. I want to encourage you to all have a journal that you be writing down as you interact with God, because God is speaking to you. God speaks through his word. He speaks to you, and then write those things down, because your mind doesn't always remember those things. But if you write it down, you can actually go back and refer to what God is actually saying to you, and you'll be surprised how he's speaking to you. So get into the discipline of a daily disciplined devotional time with the Lord. Read the scriptures. I'm not telling you, I do encourage you to read a Bible in 1 year, and there are many programs out there, and we've got some of them out there if they're available anymore, but you can read a Bible in 1 year. It's good to read the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation and to get a mix of that, but also get a daily devotional. You know, my mom has been used by the Lord to write devotionals. They're fantastic. I think they're available on one of the tables there. God has used her to speak so profoundly. Allow whoever it is, your utmost for your highest. Any of you read that? Well, Oswald Chambers. Incredible. A man many years ago, just in a deep sense of knowledge of knowing Christ. Do that. So grow in your prayer life. I really want to encourage you. And sometimes that whole thing of intercession, you'll find times there'll be an urge as the Spirit of God works with you. You don't know why you're praying, but you're praying. There might be issues in your family. There might be issues in your workplace. I want to encourage you because it's not a selfish life when you walk in the presence of God. Jesus spent much time in prayer. He got up early in the morning and went up the mountain to pray. He didn't minister before he had prayed. He chose his disciples after he had prayed. He had to hear the Father, what the Father was saying. It's the same with us. We need to grow in this thing in prayer. I want to encourage you, as you grow in Christ, pray in tongues. Paul says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Why? He was building up his spirit man to be able to hear God and to grow in the things of God. And I encourage you, pray in tongues. If you don't pray in tongues, come, let us pray for you that you do pray in tongues, because I believe it's for every believer. Once you've been filled with the Spirit of God, God wants you to pray in tongues. And don't let that thing lie on the mantelpiece. Allow it to grow through you. The next point of this multifaceted of Christ in you is a place of consecration, surrender, where you will walk humble before God and not in a place of being proud. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. That is your responsibility. God can humble you, but that's not God's way. He can put you through great difficulty that you will humble yourself, and we see that through some of the references in the Old Testament. But if you will humble yourself and that you would deal with this issue of pride in your life, that not your work, not your way, but his way, you'll be absolutely surprised where you say, Lord, I submit to you and allow you to work through me. You will see this place of consecration and surrender before God, a contrite heart, will actually set you up for the presence of God. Am I talking something very foreign to you that you don't know the presence of God? I just sense, do you know the presence of God? Because it's so vital. It's not preached much on in the church. The church gets into its programs and gets into its outworkings, into what we need to do. But I want to just say, even the late Andrew Murray said, walked over the pavement, he said, do not take your presence away from me. Could sense the presence, could leave him in a moment. And even David said, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. And I really want to encourage you, because I really do believe it's one of the marks of success of walking this life in Christ, is knowing God's presence with us. The next point is a life of worship and praise and thankfulness. Israel was set free from Egypt to let my people that they may worship me. That hasn't changed. We've been set free from this world that we may worship him. And as much we have an intimate personal relationship, the one that dwells with you is the sovereign almighty God. Worship him, glorify him and praise him. I know it's sometimes so foreign to you, but actually learn to praise God, not just through song, but by the expression of your heart and your love for God as you want to know him. Worship him and praise him. And you'll find that God indwells the praises of his people. Allow that to grow. Then you'll see as Christ dwells in you, you'll live a life of generosity, not just in tithes and offerings, but as the Lord leads you to give. And the Lord leads you to give. So we need to be generous on every occasion. I was just listening to someone while we were away, and the comment was, when the Lord tells you to give, whatever it is, whether it's your jacket or whether it's whatever it is, do not hold on to it, but give it. Because if you hold on to it, it will burn you. It's not meant, it wasn't yours, because when the Lord said give it, it was never yours anymore. He told you to give. Like the tithes and offerings is not yours. That's why we give it. It's not just a right thing to do. It does not belong to us. We give it to God, and we give it willingly to him because it belongs to him. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that. The next point is a life of faith. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This walk that we have in Christ is by faith. We see how the disciples were rebuked by the Lord many a time because he said, "Where is your faith? O you of little faith?" And the life that we have, because Christ dwells in us, it's not because we our faith, but his faith through us as we submit to him. His faith will arise within us and we'll be able to express it through the words we say and the things that we believe. We will see Christ's faith flow through us into the circuit. You are going to face storms. The winds and the waves are going to come before you. And yes, we can run to our Lord, but the Lord is within you, and the same Lord that's within you rebuked the winds and the waves on the Lake of Galilee. You can rebuke them too. That's why we need this intimate personal relationship. We're in this situation, what do you want us to do? Because we can all run to the flesh. Hey, I've got a plan. Go to the internet and I'll see a solution. Or I can go to someone with worldly wisdom and reasoning and then from that have a plan to do a thing. No! We need to see who we are. We are called to live by faith and not by sight. And that's part of our walk. We because difficulties, it draws us closer to God. And I'll tell you, there's a greater blessedness when we walk by faith, that God will not only provide for you, but we will actually go before you in whatever we face. And I just sense in my heart again, there are tough times coming, but we have to walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, and God will not disappoint you. Then a life of discipleship. We are called to follow. Jesus said, "Follow me, take up your cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." And I wanted to say, are you willing to be trained? Because a disciple is a student and to be trained. To be trained by the Holy Spirit, to be trained by the pastors and the teachers. And we trust in over this next while to set up a training program of discipleship in the life of the church. Are you prepared to become part of that and to grow in understanding of who you are in Christ? Are you prepared to be a disciple? Or you just, no, I'm just going to be who I am. I know it all. I want to just say we need to be all under training. Why do we go to school? Because the government tells us to go to school. No, we go to school because we need to learn to read and write. And we learn to read and write that we can actually read the scriptures. I really do believe that. That's why you can read and write, to read the scriptures. Because once you know the scriptures, they bring life to you. And then live a life in agreement with the Holy Spirit. There's a story R.T. Kendall tells about a couple that moved to Jerusalem, and they used to have this dove that used to fly into the house and had perched in the rafters and has got a nest there. But one day, this couple had a real Barney, and they raised their voices at one another and they let rip, and the dove left because of the noise that was taking place in the home. And I wanted to say that can happen in all our lives. There can be someone in your personal marriage, in relationships that you have, in your work environment. And when we get out of step without agreement with the Holy Spirit, the dove leaves. And we got to ensure we do not grieve the Holy Spirit, that he remains one with him. We got to do everything in our power to get back to that place. God forgives. Remember that. Nothing is that cannot be forgiven. We need to repent and get into that place that we walk in agreement with the Holy Spirit. But then there's this choice that we can live in a place of not in the place of surrender in the life of Christ. We can, and we all have the opportunity to live the life of in the flesh. We have to put down the flesh. We can live in the life of pleasure. We can seek the pleasures of this world. And I do believe God prospers us and he gives us things, but they mustn't consume us and become our gods. We can live a life of self-righteousness, of selfishness, and walk in the pride of self. We've got to put those things down. We can allow the world to come in and to hold us in worldliness. We can hold us in legalistic religion. That's one of the biggest dangers, I believe, today in the world is legalistic religion. The world, much of the church, is probably hasn't confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior and is going to hell because they have legalistic religion and they don't have a relationship with the living God. And then there are some people that walk in contrary because they are possessed by the devil, and those need to be delivered of those demonic authorities. So where do we get to this place? We are to enjoy God and everyday life. We are to know him, to know his presence. We've got to know this blessed assurance that we have that Christ dwells within us and we can walk in the presence of God. But you will have to need it. You need to say, you're going to submit to God and you're going to allow him and his presence to be a reality in your life. And I want to just encourage you today that this would not be foreign to any one of you, that every one of you will know his presence. And I cannot manufacture that for you. It's a personal response that you need to have before the Lord. Allow him that, Lord, you desire that. You desire the glory of his presence. You desire the glory of knowing him. You know, Paul, I've shared this before, Paul had an incredible revelation of the Lord. But he got to 30 years in his ministry and he says, I want to know Christ. And what is that? Is to know Christ in everything that you do. You know, you're going to walk out of here today and you're going to walk through that door and you're going to go into your family and you're going to go into environments. And to know Christ is to know his way and what he wants you to do. You're going to pick up that phone call and someone's going to say to you to do something and you've got to hear Christ. You've got to hear him to know him. And I tell you, it's every moment of every day walking with an intimacy with you. I really believe this is a secret that the Lord has given. It's not just good enough to be born again and to be filled with the Spirit and even speaking in tongues. It's walking in this intimate personal relationship with the living God. It's a key, folk. It's an absolute key. And it's going to take you everything. It's going to take a lifetime to work this out. But it's your assurance. It's your comfort. It's your shield. It's your rock, is this relationship that you have with your Lord. And I trust you've been encouraged today, but I'd like to just take a time. We're going to be breaking bread, and sorry we're running a bit over time, but I want to just take time as we just still ourselves, as you've heard what the Lord has encouraged us with, where are you in your relationship with him? Maybe you've drifted. Maybe you've even backslid here today and need to make a recommitment to him. Maybe you're totally on fire with God and you want to go deeper. We're never at a place where we're at a pinnacle and we've achieved it. We always got to grow deeper and further in our relationship. There is always more of the living God for every one of us. May our strength not be in ourselves and what we've achieved. Paul says, I count all that as rubbish. May it be the grace of God and an intimate personal relationship with him. So with every eye closed, please, and let's focus our eyes upon Jesus. Maybe you've come here today and maybe you're online today and you're hearing this and your desire is to have a deeper walk and to experience the presence of the glory of God in your walk and you don't know Christ. If that's you today, I ask you to submit your heart and to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I ask you to say after me, Lord Jesus, I submit to you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you that now, because I've committed you, myself to be you as my Lord, I am born again. I belong to you. I'm a new creation. And I'm a child of God now. And then will you fill me with your Holy Spirit as I submit to you again? Fill me with your Holy Spirit and may there be an evidence of the power of God that I might have a deeper personal relationship with you and fulfill your plans and purposes for my life. And then you here today and you want to go deeper. Will you respond to the Lord? I'm not even going to lead you in a prayer, but in this time of quietness, will you respond to the Lord? I believe there's a call that he's speaking to every one of us. He wants every one of us to go deeper with him. Maybe you're not even reading your Bible, but you commit to read your Bible. Maybe you're not even praying, but you commit to pray. Maybe you're not in fellowship, but you want to commit to fellowship. Not only fellowship with him, but fellowship with one another. Not to get religious, but to be obedient to him. You want to just go deeper with him and be obedient to him. And I want you to respond to him. So if you take a moment, you know where you are, you know what the Lord is saying to you, I ask that you would respond to him now. Thank you, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we thank you, every one of us, as you've called out of this world, and now that we belong to you, we are your children, we are your sons and daughters, we belong to you. But Lord, we want our relationship with you to go deeper and further. And Lord, as you've encouraged me to share this with your people, I just pray for an anointing, an enabling of the Holy Spirit upon every one of us to know the presence of you, that we will not, that would not be a foreign concept to us, that we would not just go to the norm, but we would actually pursue you with all our hearts, and that we would lay down our lives and we'll count the cost of what it is to get into a place of being crucified on the cross, and that we no longer live, but Christ lives in us, and the life we live by faith in the Son of God. I pray for that reality over every one of us, Lord. May none of us flounder in this. May we all grow deeper and further in hearing you and knowing you and experience your presence. Lord, we know that you love us, but we love you too. And will you take us as a people deeper and further now? In Jesus' name, amen.